Yeah, we don't need no bells and whistles. We just hit live and we talk graps, folks. We're here. Another house show, another hanging with Hole, but more specifically, we were just discussing my prior hair match over at Fightful, where I'd use it for an angle, but I never told you that story. Have I told you it before?
No.
So I did this thing where I was like, I think I got kicked off the show. Like Bob took my place on the distraction.
Mm-hmm.
And I had the long hair, and for a week I went completely blackout on social media. Like I was actually done. And like people thought I was done. And then I returned with a cap on and took the cap off with the buzz cut, like it was an angle, and the place they blew, bro. The place blew.
Oh man, you burnt. Did you burn this on a good house? Did you at least get some good heat on this angle? Did you know what I mean?
I think it was pretty good. Yeah, but that show was pretty popular. Like it seemed to it seemed to go over well, and I did this like I did this promo where I compared myself to Stunning Steve.
Oh my god!
And I was saying that like I can't remember. I did this whole comp. That was like the idea being this was my like you know this is my Stone Cold moment. Didn't quite work out that way. But
I think it did. I was telling you off air that unintentionally somehow you and AO have become the most influential people in WrestlePurist in the sense that like. There is a Hulbert culture, you know. There's a Hulbert culture.
It's kind of spooky if we're being real, right? It's kind of weird.
It's odd, but it's also like it's remarkable, and it doesn't shock me because like Hulbert lingo and Hulbert culture is pretty funny. So I get it. You know.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, at least like it seems to be somewhat positive, right? And it seems to be mostly.
People generally don't want you to go fuck yourself. So, could be
for
worse.
Now, yeah, we'll see. I'm sure the time will turn. But nonetheless, folks, we hope everyone is well. We're doing an hour Broadway today, folks. We've got an hour. If you have questions, put them in the chat. I may not get to them necessarily because I don't know how this conversation will or won't go. We have a great house here. Once again, you'll be bringing through the. Bringing this popping numbers for us, brother. Someone asked if like what this is in our lore. I was like, this is our Saturday night's main event. This is the big special. We could bring it on TV, yeah. You know. But
how are you looking? How's the house looking? What are you looking like?
StreamYard's telling me we're at 176. Now a lot of that I'm sure is like Twitter folks.
But, yeah.
I mean, that's pretty good. I mean, if you're watching on the YouTube.
That's pretty fucking good.
We got some power, brother. You're watching on the YouTube. Give us a thumbs up.
Holy shit.
Now, I do have to ask you saying, this is more serious, unfortunately. We'll talk about wrestling after this, but you did tweet something very concerning, very alarming before we went live about this Chris Jericho dream. And
oh, man. This was kind of scary. So basically, I'd been in and out of sleep since 7 a.m. This typically happens for me when I'm physically fucked. My body's beat up. It sucks. It really sucks. But the good aspect of it is that I sleep pretty well when like I feel like shit, and so I'm in and out of sleep, physically fucked. And then around like I don't know 12:30, 1 o'clock, whatever it is, I don't even know what time it is now. I had this very odd dream where it's Chris Jericho, shirtless in like black jeans with his fists taped. He's in like hilariously good shape. So in this fantasy world. It's Brawling Jericho, right? And he's looking at the camera and he's just like, you just do the work. You don't make excuses. New Japan Pro Wrestling. In Japan, your bus comes on time. You know, your this comes on time. Your order comes in. They never ask why. There's no excuses. You just work hard. That's what it's about. That's what we do this for. We work hard. And he's walking around this fucking like warehouse area. And he's walking around this warehouse area. And basically, like, all these New Japan wrestlers start joining in on him. And he's pointing at all these wrestlers. And he's like, these young guys, we fostered a culture here. We're the next generation. Oh, we're the next era. We're New Japan. I'm leading the way. And his world is playing. For those unfamiliar, his world is the theme song of Sonic 06. And it's like, dun, 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 dun. This song is playing. It's like this dramatic-ass moment. Chris Jericho's leading the charge. House of Torture and Great O'Connor are walking alongside Chris Jericho. And like, yeah, he just does this whole big fucking spiel. And it's like this dramatic cinematic video. And at the end, it's just like, Shin Yon Pro Wrestling. And I'm like, what the fuck is this? And I wake up and I was like, that was very weird. I have to write this down before I forget.
Okay, so I have a theory about this that, to be clear, this is going to impact me too. I think it's a Dwayne Johnson thing. I think we've got too close to the Dwayne content, the promotional content in particular. And I think that is a level of human that you and I are not ready to tackle at this point in our lives. I think by mm-hmm. watching so much of that stuff, I think we're in for some trouble, to be honest. That's the way it struck me. I mean, you're watching like imaginary wrestling trailers. Like, that's concerning, bro. What the fuck?
Last night, folks, I must admit this, unfortunately. So I didn't watch any wrestling last night. I just got home. I dropped my stuff. And I just started watching Rock Terramana videos. I watched one of them to just try to stock up on some meme content. And then I got weirdly transfixed by this content. It felt like this almost, I was being sucked into this miasmic haze of mana. He's just talking about mana and a celebration of life and the earth and how the Terra Mana is made. And Bruno Mars is playing in the background and he's just talking and smiling and he's just like, mana comes from here. And he's beating his chest and he's just like, I'm so happy with my mana ohana. You guys have been great so far. And I'm like, am I a part of the mana ohana? I think I am. And I'm watching each of these videos, these Terra Mana Tuesday videos, they're like each like maybe 8 minutes, you know? And he just kind of talks. And then he'll like, sometimes he'll go into like a wrestling road story. Sometimes he'll just go into like a random story about like perseverance. He'll be like, there was this guy, Brandon Johnson, last week. He's a firefighter, you know? He really gave his passion to the community, you know? And they love him for it. That's mana. That's perseverance. That's what this is about. And I'm like, thank you for telling me this clip.
That clip you tweeted was like he looks content in the most manufactured way possible. And he goes, enjoy your mana. Like, all right, man, I will. Thanks. I appreciate it.
He just had that smile he has, and he's just like, oh, man.
Oh, yeah. Mana. Just like at peace, but not really, like pretend at peace on yeah. live stream.
It's like, pretend at peace on live stream, comically brolic with this like low cut, like fucking tank top he has on, you know.
Yeah. We'll leave the Dwayne bits there because that's our new worldwide. That's like what we used to do with Collision. We don't even talk about Collision anymore. We just talk about The Rock for an hour and then we do questions and go home.
I don't know about you. I always like internally go like, all right, we'll give Dwayne about 20 minutes today. And then I look at the time thing and it's just like an hour. I'm like, fuck.
The thing is, you know for a fact he's going to say something dumb. Yeah. He's going to kill the bit. You just know he's going to. Like he's going to say something in one of these promos that's going to just prevent us from even having fun with it. But like, what are you going to do, man? I mean, as long as we're enjoying ourselves.
Someone's going to ask him a political question. He's going to say something very John Cena level stupid. You know, and it's like, oh, fuck. You know, God damn it.
Probably so. We have some news here. Dynamite. Mm-hmm. Hook versus Brian Cage for the FTW title. Are you excited? Yeah, what do you reckon? Into that or not?
Yeah, that is. That's a sick matchup. Hook versus big people is fun because you can do the spectacle thing and he does you build to the big suplex and then they don't give it to you right away and then they tease it and build to it. He beats on Hook. Hook fires back, does the big suplex. That's gonna be a nice 7 minutes, Joseph Holbert.
I think so.
I'm liking the lineup. I'm liking these graphics. At least I think I do in practice. We'll see how it looks in visual actualization. I'm you know, AEW looks like one of the few promotions right now, Joe Holbert, that has their shit together because many other companies do not at the moment.
It does feel like, and I always try and be careful with the momentum thing because sometimes we have to be honest, the wrestling momentum shifts are a little bit, they're like an imaginary thing online because we're all losers sometimes, you know, but it does feel like there has actually been a shift now. I think we're safe to say that at this point with like the signings, with the quality of the pay-per-view, with how well they execute the Sting thing. Like, it does feel like they've kind of rebuilt a little bit here. Now, what I think is interesting is, it's while they're kind of dressing up as they, you know, restore the feeling and all that good stuff, It is like a new version of AEW, though. It's a little bit more, a touch more polished. It's not quite as in-ring reliant, but it's different, isn't it? It's kind of like a new and improved take on what they were trying to do, I think, unsuccessfully last year. Go for it.
So AEW right now, their TV is nowhere near as explosive as it was at its absolute apex.
Right.
However, it's a very disciplined product that generally knows what it's trying to achieve and what they're trying to do with the people that they use. You couple this with the fact that they're going in a direction that their fan base, their core fan base, approves of. And the fact that there's all these exciting signings on the horizon. And you have a recipe for a winning promotion, a winning team. You know, and so with that, we find ourselves again in this situation where it's a sustainable model. How many Dynamites in the last month did we kind of go, that was all right, but you know, look, I like where things are going broadly, and you know, I believe in the vision, and look what happened. The payoff, which is Revolution, was a sensational paper. So yeah. Listen, I can get down with that. I don't need 3-4.5 star matches on a ultimately undisciplined show that maybe didn't totally know what it was going to do in the next month. And you know what I mean? Like, there were times, like the beginning of 2023 was like that, actually, where you had like, just it was so weird. Like, you had these shows with unbelievable matches, and we kind of like, we were having these like broad conversations at the time, like February. We're like, I don't know, something's kind of weird right now with AEW. And it's funny, we said that then, not knowing the horrors that, you know, would come later in the year. But yeah, they're just trending in a really positive direction right now. They got the new graphics, which are excited. I'm glad personally, Joe, because I hated that super LED red and blue look. I thought it was pretty fucking disgusting, to be honest with you.
It was kind of bland too, right? It was like cookie cutter. It was lame. Yeah.
Yeah, I hated that aesthetic of Dynamite. I hated looking at it. I had a rant about this a few weeks ago on Worldwide. So this new color explosion thing seems good. I like the look of it, so yeah, I'm excited. In this card, we got Riho and Chris Statlander. That's gonna be better than the last 17 women's championship matches.
Yeah, speaking of such, there's a question here: who is winning between Stat and Riho? Convinced whoever wins will be Mercedes' first match if it isn't Deeb. It feels like Deeb as for Mercedes, but that's what I reckon about the finish. Think Stat's gonna win, probably.
Yeah, it's a babyface versus babyface matchup, so I'm not sure. I don't know. I'm not really sure. Statlander did a surprising job to Sky Blue last week.
Yeah.
So I wonder if they do some type of story thing here. Maybe an interference happens. Hopefully not, but maybe. Beyond that. I don't know.
Stokely's a factor, right? You got to think Stokely could be a factor in the finish.
And they're trying to do that whole thing where he's really trying to sway her and this and that. That may actually be some type of finish where it's like he kind of gets a little ahead of himself and fucks her over, that kind of thing. And she's looking at him like, what are you doing, guy?
Yeah. You know? I could definitely see something where Stoke kind of wants Chris to cheat. You know, Chris doesn't, but Riho catches with a roll up or something to that effect.
Right.
Because they did a match. Willow wrestled a heel where they did something with Stokely where he did cheat, and it was weird because it turned the heel babyface. Whereas with Riho, that'd be, she is a babyface, you'll be fine. Mm-hmm. So that may explain why they're doing that match. Do you think? Good question here. Okada drinking Shane up tonight?
I think it's possible.
Yeah, not been a lot of buzz today, is there?
Now, that's unfortunately because AEW is getting better at hiding things now. They're much better at hiding things now, which is good for them. But usually when Tony Khan has something up his sleeve, he acts a certain way on Twitter. He's just like, you don't want to miss tonight. It's going to be a monumental, historic episode of Dynamite. And you know what I mean? Like, he always gets like that. I mean, he made it painfully obvious the day he secured Okada because he kept tweeting fucking GIFs. You know what I mean?
That was insane, dude. That was like an hour after the news broke, too. It was, apparently, the chat's saying that PW Insider reported that it seems it's happening tonight. So I guess it is happening tonight.
I mean, it makes sense. This is the supposed new season episode with the new graphics. Go balls to the wall. This might be one of those 2021 style Dynamites, honestly. New visuals, new aesthetic, excitement, fun matches, hopefully a hot crowd, and then a big debut.
There is an X factor. Like, you know, I don't think either of us are rushing to examine the attendance or the ratings, but the houses need to go up a little bit to get fully back to the excitement level, right? There because sometimes you get lucky and the crowd's great, but you know, when you've got half empty buildings, there are weeks where it just doesn't sound good on TV. Like it is what it is. I've been to some of those TVs. Now, when I was in Chicago, the Dynamite we went to was like, you know, you're looking at a half empty building. It's hard sometimes. So atmosphere is definitely key. Definitely.
2,000 to 3,000 houses is a crapshoot how good the crowd's gonna be for AEW. You know?
Yeah.
Sometimes on a collision, you get those 2,500 people that really just respect wrestling and they come through. But sometimes you don't. It's really hard. It's hard sometimes. So hopefully what we get is just improved houses, incredible atmospheres, and because that was a staple of the peak AEW television. Is that like at that there was a stretch show where like every crowd was like it felt all time hot, and it was like my goodness, these crowds are hot.
Yeah. It was a party atmosphere. It was like every week was like this wrestling festival for a bit there. It was insane, especially when they went back on the road after the pandemic. That stretch was like unhinged. That like the episode that All Ego and Darby main evented with the coffee match is like I remember that at that point in time it felt like they were about to do some crazy shit in wrestling, dude. It was like wow, they're kicking ass right now, you know.
To this day, that's my favorite Dynamite of all time. Yeah. It's like just an unbelievable vibe show. It felt like anything was just possible. Like there was like a pre-tape like for 2 seconds where there's just Tanahashi on screen and it's like, I'll fight you, John Moxley. And I'm like, Tanahashi? Whoa. Like now that means nothing because like anybody's popping up on it. And you know what I mean? But like at the time, you know, when like that stuff wasn't like, you know, it was still pretty novel, like old Forbidden Door stuff. So it was like, man, anything's possible in this fucking show. Like Hiroshi Tanahashi just showed up. Ricky Starks won the FTW title. Man, everything's hot. Cody Rhodes just had a sick fucking angle with Malakai Black. Really just felt like they're gonna take over the world. So
yeah, you know, I like me some Ethan Page, but Darby Allin turns him into a different wrestler, doesn't he? That's one of those chemistry cases of like, I think Ethan Page is like a good wrestler and like he's very solid, but he turns into like an animal against Darby just because Darby's bumping makes his offense look different entirely. Yep,
100%. Look, Darby Allin's that guy that when you really want to make a guy look good, you give him Darby Allin. There's a reason, Joe. They threw Darby at Jay White. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That's a full-on play call at this point, bro. Like they did it with Takeshita at the start of the year, right? Like Takeshita hadn't had a real match in a while. Dude, let's do Darby.
That was a fucking tone setter.
Yeah, man. Mm-hmm. I mean, he turned like Joe's run turned around when he started working with Darby. Like that's the like it was fine before that. He had moments, but that it was the Darby thing that was like, oh shit, he looks like he's back again, you know. So
Oh my God, bro! Cool. When Samoa Joe faced Adam Cole at the end of the Owen,
oh
my God,
that was very unfortunate, man.
Every 2 seconds, Joe's looking up at the sky in agony.
And like they did, like a Bobby Fish run in on the finish. Remember? What a weird final choice that was, Adam Cole and Samoa Joe, like.
Fucking sucked. I thought it was done for the big man. I thought it was done.
That show was very long.
You know what's funny about that event? It was very long, and there were many matches I could do without. But one of those rare shows where, like, I walked out happy because there were two specific things that really made me happy. Anarchy in the Arena was unbelievable, that first one.
Yes.
And CM Punk won the title, so I was like, oh, I win, let's go.
If only you knew what was ahead.
I was like, oh, Punk's champion and Anarchy Arena was incredible, let's go. And we come out of that and Punk broke his foot and Danielson has a concussion. I was like, fuck.
Okay, so I've pulled up the card here. Let's quickly go through this. Folks, put any questions in the chat and I'll try to get to them in a moment. But I've pulled up Double or Nothing 2022. Okay, so we had the Wardlow MJF like extended squash, which was a big piece of business and a very controversial thing that week. But the match was just like, he just beat him, right? It was well done. It was fine. So the Hardys and the Young Bucks, which I am, as we know, the one person in the world who thinks those matches are good. as you know, me and Dave gave the match 4 stars, so me and Dave both.
That's nasty.
It has only just struck me this match went 19 minutes, which is fucking insane. But yeah, that was there. Anna Jay and Jade Cargill.
That was nowhere near. So they had a miracle on Rampage.
Yes.
And
was it the main event of Rampage, right? At one point,
yeah, it was the best match either two wrestlers have had it to this point. Singles match. It was holy shit! Yeah. So that was a few weeks prior, and then they didn't have anything for Jade going into the show, so they just last second was like, "All right, we'll just run Anna Jay back." If you remember, that was kind of what was happening. A lot of the pay per view cycles was they didn't really know what to do with Jade, and like a few weeks out, they're like, "All right, fuck, throw this person at him," and then Jade would be the person on these pay per views that would have like these 6 minute nothing matches, and unfortunately this was no different. This was nowhere near as good as the TV match.
So. Yeah, that's what the ratings would suggest here. House of Black Death Triangle, I remember being pretty good.
I don't know.
You don't sound convinced. The two Owen finals. Cole and Joe, and then Britt and Ruby. Dave gave both of these 3.5. God bless him. Cage match was less keen on both of them.
Well, what did they go on them?
Cage match has 5.67 for the Joe match and a 5.09 for the Britt match. So
sounds about right. They I remember weirdly either it was this tournament or a different women's tournament that Statlander was really catching fire in the tournament.
Yes.
Yep. And it was looking like she was really starting to put it together fully. And this is pre-injury. And then I think, didn't the crowd turn on Ruby Soho for beating her?
Yeah, in Vegas. Yeah, the weekend. It was the week of Double or Nothing. They like booed Ruby for it. Yeah.
That's what it was. Yeah.
And then she lost to Britt anyway.
I have good fucking memory. My, look at me.
Doing good, bro. This is nearly 2 years ago. Now, do you remember this? Men of the Year and Paige VanZant versus Frankie Kazarian, Sammy, and Ty Conti.
I do remember this because I was just like, what is the purpose of Paige VanZant?
She's never wrestled since then, right? That's it.
No.
Hell of a run, brother.
Absolutely.
You know what match did fucking ruin this show, though, mate? Darby Allin, Kyle O'Reilly. Tremendous match.
This was during Tony Khan's hyperfixation with Kyle O'Reilly, if you remember. He really just...
Yes.
He was all in with Kyle.
It was too much. But this match went 9 minutes and 45 seconds and fucking ruled, dude.
It was awesome. It was supposed to be Red Dragon versus Sting and Darby, and I forgot what caused it to be changed, but it got changed. And then, I don't remember what went exactly, but around this time, they had Kyle O'Reilly open the show winning a battle royal. And then he won, and then in the main event, he faced Jon Moxley.
It was like the month after this because it was when Punk went down with the injury, right? And like we were all booking these crazy things, like they could do this, they could heat this guy up, and it was Kyle. And I remember it being like a big topic of discussion at that time. It was
I'll never forget that. That was one of my earliest Wrestle Furious podcast moments where I just like lashed out at Chris and Rob for some reason in the review.
Oh yeah, because the debate was that the guys liked the match, but you were being like spiteful that the match happened at all, right? Was the beef? I think
I was just like, yeah. How do you remember what I said? I remember yelling. I remember being mad. Being mad as fuck. But
dude, I've been reminded by this. Thunder Rosa and Serena Deeb had a good match at that pipe. That match was good.
It was good. It was good.
Serena Deeb is very, very good, man.
Yeah. Yeah, hell of a technician.
Now, did you see my I did a tweet earlier. If I don't know if you've heard of that app, but yeah, I think you'd be pretty popular on there. But I did a tweet about I tweeted this AJ Styles interview clip. Did you see this by any chance?
Yes, this was crazy. It was like 2013-ish, 2014, and AJ was just like basically saying that like he Joe was down and he'd give him a pep talk, like, don't worry, man, in a couple of years we'll be running this company, and they were not.
They were not. And it went as far as AJ, like, appearing to regret his entire life choices to that point as a professional wrestler.
It kind of made me uncomfortable. Like, he wanted to, like, cry a little bit. Like, it just...
Yeah, so the whole interview has a lot of that. So, folks, for anyone who's not seen the clip, it's on my time, but it's an interview from... It's the week of his first match back on the Indies. It's, the Indies is not the right term because he was working, you know, went to Ring of Honor, of course. But it's 2014, the first week of 2014. That weekend, he's about to work Roddy Strong on Ring of Honor. And I was watching that match and I wanted some context on that time because you kind of forget these things.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, I forgot for how long people was convinced he was just like doing an angle and was going to go back to TNA. Like, the interviewer says it to him, like, I'm not convinced that you're, like, done with TNA. Like, people thought that shit was a work, bro.
On screen, they were doing that kind of weird CM Punk type stuff with him, right? Where, like, he was just being vague and going rogue, and is he signed? Is he staying with TNA? Is he leaving? And they just fucking left him to the Indies. Like, all right, so he's going to come back. And he's like, no, I just left TNA.
Yeah, so he talks about the whole thing, and at one point, he does, like, a Brett comparison. And he's like, now I finally know, like, you know, the way Brett felt in Montreal. And I was like, holy shit, dude, this thing messed him up. The whole interview, he refers to TNA as us and we. And every time he does it, he's like, fuck, I did it again. Like, dude, he's like cooked in this. Like, I actually was glad I watched it because it just gave context to the Roddy match. I was doing a review for it, which I think will be up after this. But you actually, like, forget how much that departure was like a stunning, shocking thing at the time, because it's been so long now, right? It's like, whatever. But people couldn't believe TNA were going to go on without AJ Styles, man. It was like, it was unfathomable. When he looked heartbroken about it, it was fucking insane. Yeah,
I mean, I don't think he ever really wanted to be pushed to a point where that happened. Huh. And he was like the heart and soul in the face of the promotion. And I mean, because here's the thing, Joe. He'd been misused for years, but he gave it the old college try. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like Kevin Garnett leaving the Minnesota Timberwolves. You want to be loyal. You want to win a championship in the team that drafted you, so to speak. And it just didn't come together for him. So,
dude, they offered him he says they offered him like a 50% pay cut.
That's just insane.
50% is what he said, like, the deal was. And, yeah, it's wild.
Creative mishandling plus a pay cut is bad. Like, usually in this business, a wrestler can, like, they can stomach some bad booking if they get a nice little race, you know, Dolph Ziggler type beat. But
that happens to him like four times over.
Yeah, where he's like, man, this stinks. I'm out of here. And they're like, you want $1 million? And he's like, yes, I would love $1 million. So, yeah, that happened to him in 2019, and in 2016. So, yeah, but AJ getting a pay cut like that is crazy. What a time. I remember he was in Hammerstein, and the Bullet Club was there, and they were chanting FTNA.
That was a thing at the time, dude. Like, when he wrestles that Roddy match, the announcers are talking about how, you know, like, this is a test for him because he's used to coming from the other place where they wrestle the short matches. It's like, fuck, man. Like, they really just, their perception and their, like, their brand at that point is like, it's never recovered fully, right? We're being honest. Like, it's,
no.
That really is the end.
Because it was always LOL TNA, and then people actually started to leave. And I was like, wow, okay.
Yeah, absolutely. You mentioned IWGP. I don't even know what the belt is, but he has an IWGP belt. The aforementioned Dolph Ziggler, now Nick Nemeth. Did you watch his match with Finlay? By the way, I don't think we ever even talked about this match.
I was in this like haze. It was just late at night. I was just really tired, but I did watch it. But weirdly, like, I struggled to remember it. I just remember that it just felt like a long.
It was very long.
Just a long three-star match.
It was your textbook two solid pros, which is like kind of a bummer because I don't think that was at all the way that Nick was trying to wrestle. Like, I think he actually wanted to have like a great match, but it was not a great match. I mean, it's, I don't know. Finlay feels like he still hasn't found what he's like actually what he's supposed to be as a wrestler, you know?
Dude, he's he is so pedestrian, you know?
Yeah.
He's just pedestrian. That's the bottom line. He's just very all right.
Yeah, that's it. It's very, and I think the way that his matches are now, it's his limitations are even more highlighted by, like, they give him these long heat segments, right? And it's like, I just don't get it. I don't understand what the thinking is behind that. The match went like 24 minutes, dude. Like,
he was in a tag with Juice Robinson a couple of years ago, and he was fine in that because it's a tag of Juice Robinson.
Yeah.
And they decided that's the guy that they want having, like, you know, elongated singles matches as a heel.
Indeed.
They started him exactly in the Jay White role.
Yeah. Yeah, incredibly enough. You're right. We're talking about New Japan. I think it does make sense to very briefly. We don't have to go over it too much, but they had an interesting morning on the timeline, it seemed. I didn't watch the show, but Jack Perry, he joined House of Torture, which is, man, I don't know, brother. That kind of just seemed nasty, to be honest with you. That was a little much, I thought. Like, good Lord, man. Like, give him a chance. I know that the act is over in Japan or whatever, but fuck. Like, that match is going to suck, dude.
On his first show, on his first full show, having a match, it is remarkable. By the way, Shota Umino, he used to have a great look. You know, he's built great. He had those, like, he had that kind of like color splash long boys you would wear. He had the Tanahashi hair. In case you have not seen him in a while, he has this like weird soccer mom cut now, and he wears these like baggy flare pants. They just changed them for no reason. It's very strange. But if you were wondering, him and Jack was actually just a pretty fine match. It wasn't even like that good. So,
yeah. Very Jack doesn't. His style doesn't strike me as saying that would be natural in Japan. You know, like I never watched Jack Perry work and said that he'd fucking tear it up at Budokan, you know? Like,
there's that. And also, he did the whole, like, I'm actively thinking about how to work like a heel thing.
Yeah, so, of course, man. Like, he did, how many matches did he do as a heel before he got suspended? Like four, five?
Like four or something.
Yeah, I don't know. I liked Jack quite a bit as a singles worker. I think he was quite good. We discussed the heel thing at the time. I think it was ill-advised, you know.
He's in good shape right now.
Good. Yeah. I have no, I don't get why people like fucking hate the dude. Like, I don't get it. You know, like, to me, it's like, I think he was a good pro wrestling babyface. I didn't love him as a heel, but he got no real chance to do it, really, right? Like, he had like a month. The promos weren't good, but what are you gonna do? But New Japan, I feel bad for him because while it will probably give him like a good, like, he'll probably get a decent run in terms of the booking in New Japan, the real main thing that I think this run could have gave him a chance to do is to, like, you know, reset the perception of him, right? To win back some fans. And like, the House of Torture matches are the worst kind of matches to do that with because they're going to be full of horse shit. I don't know. It's a shame.
They are a really, really, really bad stable. And they'll take people who are otherwise talented and just ruin their matches.
Yeah.
So, like, people who probably don't even remember because it's ages ago at this point, might be a millennia ago. Once upon a time, Sho Tanaka was seen as a good wrestler.
Yeah, no, you're right. You're absolutely right. It's brutal. It's an interesting time in the Pillars thing. Lest we forget, dude, that world title feud was 10 months ago, you know, 9 months ago. Oh, like, it's a lifetime ago, it feels like. We just talked about Jack. Sammy either was or is suspended. I think is suspended, right?
He is suspended.
So what was the, and I'm not even asking this to like scoop, I genuinely didn't read a lot about the story. So like, was the Hobbs match to write him off?
Yes. Yeah.
Dude, what the fuck?
And they gave him to Willie, and then Will just repeatedly beat the dog shit out of him. Yeah.
Just in awe of, like, your safety procedure was not up to it. You're suspended, but first have this awesome street fight in which we write you off TV.
Yeah, and he's just getting destroyed.
Yeah. What do we think? If we jump ahead a year, what does the Pillars thing look like, do you reckon? Are they all still in AEW? You under contract or not, do you reckon?
No.
No?
No.
How many of them do you think are under contract? Two or three?
2.5.
2.5. 2.5. Good answer. Yeah. It's been an interesting one to follow. Sammy is a guy who, like, history will never quite capture it, but there was definitely times where he really connected with that audience and got over, you know? Like,
yeah.
When
Jericho's were behind the guy, he did these spotlighted matches, they liked him. Jim Ross would do the Sammy thing.
Yeah, man.
he kept calling him Eddie Guerrero, which is annoying. He reminds me of a young Eddie Guerrero. What are you talking about? That always confused me. I'm like, what is he talking about? But he was in that spot. I remember when he had the match at MJF and Daly's place, which was very good. Yeah. He has a Sean Spears' best AEW match on the Dynamite during that period where they were just electric. And then much to my chagrin, he beat Miro for the TNT championship. I was very upset that day, Joe. I was really mad. I was like, no, what are you doing?
You wanted to get that. Do you remember who you wanted to get that spot?
Who, me?
Yeah, like the Miro spot. Because remember, that was like a big debate at the time, who should get the Miro win.
I'm struggling to remember.
You were probably an Eddie Kingston guy, right? Probably.
Yeah, I did want them to do a rematch because that first match is awesome. I'll tell you what. I was all in, dude. I just wanted him to keep holding it.
It was an awesome run. It was awesome.
Yeah, nobody remembers it anymore because they all hate the guy, but that God champion thing was awesome.
We have news. It appears Drew McIntyre has parodied the Brawl Out situation.
In what way?
He has done the quote of what Dover doing this world deserve an empty-headed dumb fuck like Seth Rollins to go out on national TV and go into business for himself. He has tweeted. So,
was it a tweet or a video?
he's tweeted that in quotes with the video of the angle with Seth from Raw, I guess, was the.
Oh my god.
He's on fire right now, bro. Like, I'm really happy for him, man. Like, there was a moment there when he lost to Gunther at SummerSlam.
Oh, it looked kind of spooky.
Yeah, I remember thinking, man, what brutal timing. Like, deal's contract's coming up, and like, he didn't feel like he had a lot of value. And now he's like, fucking, he's one of the hottest guys in the business right now, man. Good for him.
He added another million to what he could garner, you know, like a whole other $1 million. It's insane. We were talking about it like in the spring, and we were like, I don't know, Drew, you know, it's tough. He's good, but you know, and now he's like, he's the man.
You wouldn't have seen this coming either. He's like a troll. Like, what the fuck?
He's like really good at posting. It's like, okay. This 35-year-old Scottish man is just really good at Twitter. What makes it funny is very clearly he realized like they're not going to do anything to him if he curses on social media. So he went, oh, let's go. And he just started doing it. There was a funny thing there where I forgot what happened, but Seth was just cursing at Drew and they're going back and forth and calling each other bitch a lot. And Seth said shit, and then Ricochet was just like, wait, we could curse now? This is really funny.
So he's winning. Do we think he's winning the belt at Mania?
Unless they add Samuel Zayn to the match. Joe, did you hear what the update on the Intercontinental Championship situation is?
I did, and I don't know what that suggests as to where they're going. They're actually like got my interest with that. I'm like fascinated by it. Like what?
Yes.
Like Gable or Sammy, right? Like what's the deal? I don't know.
For those that don't know, they're doing a 6-person gauntlet match. It's going to be Sami Zayn, Chad Gable, Bronson Reed, Ricochet, JD McDonagh, and Shinsuke Nakamura. The winner of this gauntlet match next week is going to face Gunther at WrestleMania. The two centerpiece people to focus on here is Sami Zayn and Gable. And on this week's Raw, Joe, this is what they did. Sami Zayn just had an interview just talking about his general path to Mania. Whereas Gable walked straight to Gunther's face and was essentially like, the smile that's on your fucking face right now is what I'm going to put on my daughter's face. And Gunther just laughed it off and walked away. And he kind of just restated his story in front of Gunther. So we shall see. I'm holding out hope that what I want to happen is actually what they're leaning towards, which is that Sammy finds his way back to Drew, and Gable gets the match. I think that if they do a closing two of Sammy and Gable, it'll be very, very dramatic and heated. So we'll see how the match goes. There's a version of that match that's really, really good.
Do you think they might do a deal? Now, I don't watch it as close as you, so tell me if this would work. So you have Sammy and Drew share one of those backstage confrontations they like doing before the gauntlet match, you know? Drew fucks over Sammy in this gauntlet match, and as punishment for that, Pierce is like, you took his mania shot away. He's now in the match at WrestleMania, your match at WrestleMania. You know, that kind of deal where he, like, Drew kind of fucks himself over, basically, would be the idea, you know?
This is 95% possible, Joe Holbrook.
Okay, I've still got it. you don't have to watch the shows. You just have to have, like, a...
You know, just have to, you know, have a feel for how they do things, you know? Yeah, also, his strategy. The reason why people were scared about Gable Gunther not happening is because the Triple H strategy is, like, five to 7 weeks before this match happens, these people will walk by each other backstage, and it's like, oh, the foreshadowing, you know? Or the other Triple H way of, like, a mention on in an interview. And they didn't do that with Gable, and it was like, what's going on here? This is getting kind of spooky, you know? But recently, they ramped it up, and with Sammy, the whole thing for, like, the last month is just, like, you know, like, him running into Drew and saying, you're in my way, or him going, like, I need to get past Drew McIntyre. I'm going to pivot away from Drew. Because right now, I hyperfixate on things sometimes, and it gets me off my path. I'm going to stop worrying about Drew. I'm just going to worry about getting on Mania. I'm not going to worry about Drew. And to me, that means, no, you Drew is the elephant in the room. You have to get past him. Now, with that, there is kind of the complication of when Sammy's in that match, now you want Sammy to win it. But Drew should be the champion at this point with the work he's doing.
I don't know. That's tough because I think you can do something with Punk and Drew at Mania. Especially if you have Punk on Carly, you can do it easily, right?
Yeah, actually, you're right. You're right, to be honest with you.
Punk throws a fucking Pepsi in Drew's face or some shit. And, like, ooh, you know, like.
Yeah, Joe. Who saved Punk from the Drew beatdown on his last segment on Raw?
Exactly. It's like poetry. It rhymes, brother. There you go.
Oh, this is perfect. We're cooking. I think we solved the code. I think we cracked the code here. You know?
Punk is I'm still waiting for the cash-in to happen, brother. Remember?
Well, that one can go fuck itself. That prediction can go fuck itself. That prediction can go fuck itself.
Someone, I can say this now because I don't think it's going to happen, but in wrestling, there are people you talk to that you know for a fact something's going to happen, right? And there are people that know some of the time, most of the time they're wrong, but sometimes they hit. So you have to take them somewhat seriously. I think you know what I'm talking about here, right? Like there's levels to it. And someone suggested to me that when they were shooting the WrestleMania ad, that there was like, there was definitely talk in the room that leave ourselves open to the idea that Seth isn't the champ when he goes into this tag match. And so obviously being a real podcaster, I just put it out there as my prediction and prayed for the best and hoped that this would be something I could circle back to in victory.
It was infuriating. I was like,
I was doing it. You called me on it immediately. I was doing it. So I was like, fuck.
We all, because you know what it is? This is weird subconscious inhuman element to how we speak when we're subtly relaying something we've been told. It's just noticeable. It's just like, I don't know. It just doesn't feel speculative, even though it is. It's feigned speculation.
It's such coward shit, dude. It's the most coward thing we do.
Bullshit. We're like, I don't know. I just have a feeling. Just keep an eye on that. It's like, you fucker. You motherfucker.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it is what it is. You know, you got the problem is people watch the show now, dude. I don't want to get clipped on be on fucking Twitter with like a scoop. I don't want that. Like, I'm just predicting.
Oh, bro, that's the worst. Like during like January when I got clipped for like Mercedes stuff, I was like, what the fuck?
How did you think I felt? I was the fucker that was sitting on the screen with sunglasses on. This clip's got like 2,000 likes, and I'm just sitting in the top left corner, like fucking looking miserable with my shades on, you know.
But the clip was the caption had something that I didn't say, and if you actually play the video, I don't say what's in the caption. But the way Twitter works, Joe, is most people are gonna just see the writing, not click the video and listen to it, and just go, "Oh shit," and then write their quote tweet.
Yeah, one of those was like crazy. Like it was literally you didn't say anything like it, but no, whatever. I mean.
Bro, here's a good example of this. Someone just made up, like some diva stand just made up that Sasha's making less than, and she just listed a bunch of prelim women's wrestlers in WWE. So she's making less than Carmella, this person, that person, so on and so forth, and linked an article. This article had nothing that said suggested this, but they linked an article knowing no one's gonna actually click it and read it and put that as the cover, like title thing. And they had like hundreds of thousands of quotes. And I was like, man, this is crazy. This is crazy.
That's like kind of based, unfortunately. I'm sorry, RuPaul. That's like...
It's a social experiment. It's a social... Yeah. They said, yo, nobody reads. Let's see what happens. Let's test this theory out. Just linked a random aggregation of Dave and said, Mercedes makes less than insert seven women's wrestlers. People are like, that's fucking bullshit. Are you kidding me? Nobody... No, people just trust that these things will just have what was said here. And we got caught on it. It's kind of crazy.
It is, folks. We've got about another 15 minutes here. So, again, if you have any questions, I may miss them because we're just talking shit here for a broad way. So, but if you have them, feel free to throw them in the chat. And just in case I do manage to catch one and ask it in time. And if you're enjoying this, thumbs up, subscribe, all that good YouTuber stuff I'm supposed to say. what old graps have you been watching recently, bro? Any old wrestling you've been diving into recently?
Let's see here. Normally I do a lot, but recently I just rewatched a bunch of great Sting stuff.
Yeah.
So rewatched a lot of great Sting stuff. Anything else?
So what was the Sting? I know you watched the New Japan stuff, right?
I rewatched the WrestleMania. I rewatched the Starrcade in Tokyo Dome, the New Japan Super Show with WCW, which was a fascinating event.
That is such an interesting show, dude. It really is.
You know, I've seen this now in so many different versions. Basically, I've seen the Jim Ross and Tony Schiavone cut.
Yeah.
I've seen that, and I've also seen the one I was watching yesterday was on Archive, and it was the New Japan version of this, right? And basically everybody on the card had to cut like a 30-second promo at the start of the
I've show. Seen that one. Yeah,
you've seen it, right? Yeah. It's so funny because like I forgot who were the WCW guys in the opening tag, but like only one of them is like notable. I'm forgetting who it was. I think Tom Zenk had to have been one of the fucking three people, but
probably.
It's so funny because like no, Pillman's one of them, and the guy in the middle is cutting a promo, and he doesn't remember the names of the guys in the match, and he's like, and then like Pillman's like Izuka, and the other guy and Ogami, or whatever. Like oh my god, and they just one take it, so fuck it, you know. You got the Steiners doing this kind of thing. What's up
on that show? Like every single match, Jim Ross has to explain that the Japanese crowds are quiet. Every single match, like it's not what you used to, folks. They're more respectful here.
They're a respectful audience. They are a respectful audience.
That's the show where Arn and Larry do that like perverse tag to absolute silence, right? That is that show, correct? I'm pretty sure. Or is it the next one? No, that's Arn and Wyndham, isn't it? That one you watched?
Arn and Wyndham faced. Yes. God, who do they face? Was it Chono and Saito?
And that match is like. It feels weird, but it's not as weird as the Larry Zbysko one the following year. That match is insane, dude. He's absolutely silent in there. It's insane.
They do not know what to make of anything. The actual real shit on this show is the Steiners versus Kensuke Sasaki and Hiroshi Hase.
Fucking rules. Yeah.
That match is some good shit, you know? Young Kensuke Sasaki, just a powerhouse doing the power slam. He does this fucking lariat on Rick Steiner, and Rick Steiner takes up. He actually takes a sick bump on it, like because the thing is, the mentality at this time is like, I'm here to show that I'm tough. I'm not about to like actually like really sell for you and shit like that. But and so surprise, like Rick Steiner took a sick bump on this lariat, this running lariat that this guy does, and it's just good shit. It's good shit.
Is it the bump where he takes on his face, basically flips over? He seemed to that seemed to like one of those bumps that he like. Kind of prided himself on because the boys would have like Rikishi used to do it, didn't he? Like he'd pride himself on that Rikishi, fucking
yes,
the inside out bump. Yeah,
Rock would give him a lariat on that. Yeah. But you know that match is tremendous. Hilariously, it won Match of the Year that year in the Observer Newsletter, And like, not that it's not a match of the year level match, but surely there had to be something better. But I'm guessing because maybe a lot of hardcore fans just thought this is like a really cool novel show and they had to procure the footage. Maybe they were just like, oh, it's the best match on this, like this, the big show of the year. I don't know. But there had to have been something from like,
I feel like, do you think that may have been some subscribers like trying to be cool kids because like they didn't actually watch Japanese wrestling, but this was a WCW show that, that allowed them to see some of it. And they were like, that's the real shit right there at the dome, brother. You know,
probably, probably. Cause it's like, I'm struggling. Like, listen, there's a couple 1991 Jumbo Tsuruta and Misawa matches, not with each other, but just like against other people that like were better. But you do have to like remember, like it's 91, and how many American hardcore fans are accessing right. that level of tape? So
yeah, because the WCW people don't realize they would show them on pay per view like a couple months later, right? It'd be like a tape delay pay per view in WCW, so yes. people would have seen that. So.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking it is. You know, they wanted to be cool kids. This was a match with some Japanese guys, and they're like, oh, this is some good shit here. You know,
finally, I know what Dave's talking about, right? Like one of those deals.
Yeah, literally, you know, you've been reading Dave's been talking about Kensuke Sasaki. And, oh man, Hiroshi Hase is such a good amateur wrestler, and you're seeing him grapple with the Steiners and throwing suplexes and stuff. It's also cool because those guys would appear on those WCW shows, and they're on a couple Clash of Champions and stuff, but like it's nowhere near the same because the atmosphere isn't the same and the audience in America doesn't know who they are. Mm. And like there, it was always diminished. Like, I think Chono and Hase had a tag with the Steiners on a Clash. That's like 3.25, you know, but like in their own natural home, having like a legitimate, like 4-star dome tag, you know, it's just different. So,
yeah. And the Steiners were great fits in Japan too. That helped. Cage Match claims this match is like not top 50, 91 match. So your point is on the money. I think that was just a weird observer quirk.
Can you read me the top 10 matches of 1991 on Cage Match?
I can. Hold on. My thing's not loading here. The top one was an All Japan 6 man. Let me try and find it. It was like the Pillars versus Tsurutagun.
Tsurutagun and Super Generation Army, probably.
Yes.
That makes sense.
It was. Yeah, from April 20th, 91.
Mm-hmm.
Minoru Suzuki in the 2-seed here. Working Naoki Sano.
Naoki Sano.
PWFG. My God.
Naoki Sano's awesome. Everybody should watch Sano versus Liger from 1990. It's the first like violent match Liger ever has. Because Sano's like a shoot-style wrestler. And I'm pretty sure he trained in New Japan's dojo, but he quickly went over to the UWF like when it got made. And so in 1990, he comes back into New Japan, and he just decides, I want to kick the dog shit out of Jushin Liger. And he does it, and he exposes almost his entire face, Joe. But you don't see Liger's face because he's covered completely in a crimson mask.
That's real so, perhaps, bro.
Yeah, it's Liger's full face on display, but in a crimson mask. And he has to just fight Sano. And like, early on in the match, he's trying to do his lucha type stuff and a shooting star press and things like that. And like Sano's just like kicking him and kneeing him in the fucking face and shit, and just like no selling it and doing the Samoa Joe walk off spots.
Clips of this. Yeah, I've never seen it in full. I know what you're referencing.
Everybody should watch. It's one of the best matches of 1990. Ultimately, Liger prevails by just like showing some guts and toughness. It's really, really good.
That's a classic wrestling play. Wrestling hero just guts it out and shows they have something different. You know, like they're made of something different. That's fucking timeless.
Yeah, and Chandler's working it like he's like, I don't give a shit about this pussy fucking high flying bullshit. It's awesome.
I'm gonna jump. So the top 10 match is like Noyana from Japan, but I'm intrigued. I want you to see if you can guess this. What's the top rated US match for 1991?
Sting and Luger versus the Steiners.
It is not. It's actually, to my surprise, from the World Wrestling Federation. Does that help you any?
Is it a tag match?
It is not.
Okay. Oh, Savage and Warrior.
Incredibly, it is not. It is, in fact, it is the SummerSlam. Bret the Hitman Hart and Mr. Perfect Kurt Hennig.
Oh, no, that makes sense. All right.
Yeah. All right. I didn't know if it would. I always prefer the King of the Ring match.
Mm-hmm.
I was a little surprised to see it up there. It's still like not in the top 10. The top WCW match is the Dustin and Ricky versus on and Larry tag from The Clash. The you know, the one when Ricky's the surprise?
Yeah, which is Ricky Steamboat's the surprise, and he takes the big, like, dopey dragon thingy off his head, and he's like, it's Ricky the Dragon Steamboat! And he walks in, and he's it's a sick tag. That same show has the angle that MJF tried to do at Full Gear, yeah, where Sting is hurt at the beginning of the show, and they're like, can Sting make it? He's in a hospital. And, like, Eric Bischoff's doing live reports from the hospital, and he's like, Sting is still laying down. He's waiting for a medical update, and you just hear Sting in the background, he's like, give me that! What? And like, Sting, what are you doing? Sting, get out of there! Sting. And they're basically like, Sting just hijacked the hospital car or whatever.
Dude, it's the one in the on match, it's when he goes at ringside, and he says to Larry about Steve, but he's just a man. Because they're like spooked. Ricky Steamboat is here. It's fucking awesome. We have an issue here. If we look at this, Montgomery in the house. He says, "What's the cup, brother?" We have to talk about that off the air. This is for the love of the game here. We don't talk. Absolutely. We don't talk turkey on the air.
Love the game, baby.
Couple questions before we get out of here because we've only got a few more minutes. Joe Nibu, who should win the vacant tag straps? Good question. What do you reckon? Who you got?
The Young Bucks.
Is that who you think and who you want? What do you reckon?
Yeah.
Both?
Yeah.
Feels like after they lost on Sunday, that's the kind of, you give them that vehicle, right?
I'd like this tournament to be a way to get me back into the tag division of AEW because I don't particularly care about it at the moment.
I think Mox and Claudio are going to go pretty far here.
They're a good shout to win it, to be honest.
Yeah. I don't really want them to win it, I gotta be honest.
It depends on, the thing is, like, if John is, because John hyperfixates on random wrestling, stuff from the past, and if he's really on a Road Warriors kick right now, he might just be too deep in and just say he wants to win it, He might tell Tony Khan to give him a fucking Iron Man as a theme song.
Dude, he's like, insane. There was definitely some Road Warriors perversion going on because at one point Claudio just like he didn't sell. And like, to be clear, I mean this is a compliment because Claudio was fucking awesome in this match. So I don't mean as a criticism, but it was like, God, these dudes really were watching their fucking Road Warriors tapes, man.
They're watching Road Warriors in Japan tapes, dude. They John might go, listen, my hair already kind of looks like Hawks anyway. I might just cut it and just fucking,
That would actually be beast. He should actually do that, dude. Fuck it.
The thing is, if he finally cuts that one tuft at the top, I don't think it's ever coming back. You know that type of balding where like you're hanging on to that piece and it's like, don't get rid of that because it's not coming back. Like that little like up at the top,
It's your last shot. You just gotta let it be for as long as you can. I can see that.
He's been clinging on to that for like 6 years.
What do you think about this? What do you guys think Athena will be on TV more this year? Is she just going to stay in Ring of Honor? What do you reckon?
I mean, I'd like her to be on the television. We'll see. Yeah. It depends on Mercedes' thing goes. And quite frankly, it also depends on if she just wants it.
I think so. I mean, Mercedes' thing is like, that's such a natural match, right?
I think Mercedes is going to have CM Punk level backstage motion in the sense of like, she will get whatever she wants. I'm so
dude, there's definitely versions of that that get real spooky, right? Like
a little bit, If she just doesn't like certain people and is like, I just don't want to see them when I'm at TV, they will not be at TV.
God bless professional wrestling, brother. That's the beauty of getting over, I guess, right?
Hell yeah.
That's what it is. Okay, folks, we're winding down here. 90 seconds left on the clock as we head to our Broadway tournament draw. The world's title. is there anything else, Ibby, you would like to talk about before we go, mate? Anything that you like, I need to get off my chest on the Holbert House show right here, right now, or all good?
Let's see. I already spoke about Dynamite and the state of affairs and All Elite Wrestling. New Japan fucking sucks.
I hear NXT was good. Is that true?
I don't know. I saw Dijak's moonsault, and I was like, that's nice. That's really nice. He made a sincere tweet about that. He was like, for those of you who say I shouldn't have done that moonsault, you weren't me when I was looking at my phone crying, thinking I was going to get fired when I was T-barred on Main Event and shit. And I was like, all right, good for you, Don Dijak. What else did I see from NXT? Sean Spears, unfortunately, is in a feud with Ridge Holland, which sounds very like Impact, you know. But
I don't know. I wouldn't shoot that down, bro. I'm found. What did you? Okay, Ridge Holland. Now he sort of clobbers people, right? He thinks it's real.
Go fuck yourself, Joe.
Sean Spears.
Go fuck yourself.
Got some height, you know. Pollock television experience.
They're gonna have the most cage match 6.3 epic ever. I saw the angle and like they're shooting. They're treating this like it's like this emotional feud. Like Ridge is struggling with his emotions. He wanted to hit him in the face with a chair, and Sean Spears is like, "Do it!" Ah, and he's just like, "Ah," and he's struggling.
Wait, what? Why is he like conflicted?
Well, the idea is like he has like trauma for what he did to Biggie, paralyzing him. Yes, this is a real storyline. Yes, and he
no fucking. Are you being serious?
Yes. He's traumatized for what he did to Biggie. He almost paralyzed Ilya Dragunov. He was really like shaken up about it. They did a sit down interview and he just wanted to go back to the drawing board. And he was like contemplating his like own, like just everything about himself and this and that. And it's like, he's like trying to figure out if this dates back to his childhood, if he just has anger issues and so on and so forth, his history as a rugby player and blah, blah, blah. And Sean Spears is basically like, "I know the truth about you, Ridge Holland. I know the truth about blah, 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 blah."
Holy fuck. I had no idea. This is what I'm talking
about. With his chair, and he's just like, "You motherfucker." He's like, "Do it. Yes, hit me." You know, and he drops the chair, and the crowd is, it's like a pull apart and shit. And I'm like, fuck me.
Dude, that's like, with each word of that, I swung back from like, is this good to that sounds fucking awful? Like, I couldn't figure it out as you were saying it. It didn't compute in my head.
It feels to me like a dramatic Honor Club Rampage Impact feud.
The type Rampage of Rampage was nasty, bro.
It's the type of feud that like the people involved like think this is really, really profound and they're really into it, you know what I mean? And like they're gonna make a tweet about how they put their heart and soul into this thing. You know, and got,
yeah, like, in a shoot interview in 10 years they like put it over. You gotta check it out, man.
The office
wasn't behind us, but we came up with some stuff, you know. Yeah.
Dave gives it 3.5 in their eventual plunder match that goes 20 minutes. Russell Pierce gives it a 3. He gets a 6.3 on cage match. You know what I mean? That kind of thing.
Yes, indeed. And on that note, hilariously, that's going to be type beat. Go for it.
No, I'll say Santana Ortiz type beat.
They had something, brother. They had something.
They did.
Okay, let's actually end there. Last question. Where do you think Santana goes?
Impact.
Yeah, I actually think like they should like push him quite a bit, honestly. Why? Their champ's Moose, bro. Like, fuck.
I literally was saying they push Moose. Like, you could.
Yeah.
Why isn't Mike Bailey their champion? You know, like.
Well, Santana at least can talk, right? Like, fuck it. Let's do it. All right.
Yeah, do it.
Nick Nemeth versus Mike Santana coming to a Wrestle Cruise Worldwide near you, folks. Lock in. Okay.
This was potentially fun. Yeah.
It's pretty cool. Anything to promote, brother? Anything to promote?
So I'm currently negotiating with DJ on this. We'll see how it goes, but I might be having my own personal line of Terramana coming out soon. So be on the lookout for that. Outside of that, guys, if you just haven't followed me ever, please follow me at Backup Hangman. I tweet a lot of things, and sometimes the tweets are pretty good. Follow me at Backup Hangman. Dynamite looks good, so I'll be tweeting about that when I get home and watch it at 1 a.m. So beyond that, nothing really else to promote.
Wonderful. Did you see this earlier, by the way? Look at this.
Oh my god.
It's one of the most terrifying things ever. This is gonna be the image that we go home on, I think. This is it right here.
That is disgusting.
Indeed, folks. I am promoting the what the fuck is it? Dynamite, you just talking about? Yeah, Dynamite review tomorrow. I think it's 6:30 Eastern tomorrow night. That'll be happening. And beyond that, gonna keep beating this drum, brother. LNG 100. Big things coming, major announcement, all that good stuff. Probably won't be another house show for the rest of the week, but we hope you enjoyed this kind of like mini double shot here. Ibu, thanks for hanging out, man. It was cool to get a little time limit draw in, man.
Absolutely, man. This is what we do, man. A nice little 60-minute 4-star match. You know what I mean? Just
yeah, something like that. Yeah, free, maybe a free. We'll see. See what Dave thinks. Hopefully a fan. Bro, the house is crazy. We were like over 400. I don't really know how or why, but we did well. We did good.
Holy shit! Right.
I'll tell you, bro, you're a drawer. I've told you this before. All right, folks. I'll see you tomorrow night, hopefully on the Dynamite review. But regardless, as always, thanks for the house. Have a good night, folks. And enjoy this horrifying picture of me as Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Goodbye.
You can feel the mana.